We're going to make this portion very short, but I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about something that I believe is very important to all of us. I want to start by asking you, do you have a favorite verse? You probably do, but I've got the word "a" on here because I'm not asking you what your favorite verse is, but do you just have a favorite one? For me, it just depends on what day it is. To me, it depends on what week it is. Sometimes that verse changes from moment to moment what that favorite verse might be. Last year, we had one of these lessons where we talked about a favorite Bible verse, and we used Isaiah 41 and verse 10 as a favorite Bible verse. But tonight, I want you to get your Bibles, and all we're going to do is look at one verse. So you need to go over there and look at it with me, okay? Now, if you don't go right now and get your Bible and turn over and look at it, the ice cream is going to melt, okay, before you get there. I know I'm standing between you and your ice cream, but I'm counting on you to go over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 with me, all right? We're just looking at this one verse. As you go over there, I want to ask you a question. What do Miss America contestants and presidential candidates have in common? You're like, please, no, nothing. They don't have anything in common. Miss America contestants and presidential candidates, what do they have in common? They like to talk about world peace. I don't know what the deal is, but they like to talk about world peace. Like that's, you know, their talking points. Well, tonight, I don't want to talk to you about world peace. I want to talk to you about your peace. Do you have peace? Right now, do you have peace? Remember those commercials? They just had two words and a question mark. Commercials that says, "Got milk?" You know, I used to see those and think that's horrible English. But, you know, "Got milk?" So I'm asking you tonight, got peace? Do you really? I know there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that challenge that, that maybe call us into question, do I really have peace? But that's what Philippians 4 and verse 7 is about. It's about peace. The Hebrew word for peace, you've probably heard it before, shalom. It's a word that simply means wholeness, completeness. It's talking about just a well-being that you have. It's a peace, a wholeness. The Greek word has that same kind of concept, but it means that there's a tranquility of spirit that you have. Do you have that? One definition that has been used for the Greek word for peace says that it is euphoria. Think about that. Euphoria, a happiness that is coupled with security. Tonight, do you have euphoria? Do you have happiness coupled with security, tranquility, wholeness of your well-being? I want to talk about that for just a minute from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. And what I want you to think about when you go over and look at this verse is I want you to think about the peace that we can have, and I want you to think about the place of its origin. What does this verse say in verse 7? Where does it say this peace comes from? And the peace of God. True peace does not come from Amazon. True peace does not come from the world. True peace only can come from God. So I want you to hold your finger here. We're just going to look at one verse with each of these thoughts just to add one more element to it. So hold your finger here in Philippians 4. Go over to John chapter 14. We're just going to look at one verse to kind of add one element to this. When we say that the origin of peace is from God, listen to what Jesus says in John 14 and verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace, I leave it with you." But I want you to see what he says there. "Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives you." There's a difference between what Miss America and a presidential candidate talks about, world peace. There's a difference between that and the peace that Jesus has to offer. Some of you have been through some challenges in life. Some of you are going through them right now. And you've looked and you've looked for peace. The Bible says that the only origin, the only place you're going to find true peace is going to be that peace that comes from God. Now come back to Philippians chapter 4. The place of its origin, it's got to be of God. But is it perceptible to us? What is its perceptibility like? Come back to Philippians 4 verse 7. The peace of God that does what? What does true peace do? The true peace from God, it surpasses all understanding. Can you understand the peace of God? Now, for most people there, we could probably understand certain laws, like the law of gravity. Do you understand the law of gravity? Sometimes too well, right? You understand the law of gravity. It works every day of your life, sometimes better than others, right? So most of us understand the law of gravity. But only some of us might understand the trigonometry law of cosine, right? And you're like, what did you say? See, only some of us understand cosine. But this verse says none of us fully understand and comprehend the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. It is not something that we can grab a hold of and fully be able to explain to somebody else. So go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Do I have this up here? Yeah, good. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Because Paul says there's something else that's like this. There's something else that you can't fully understand, and you can't fully grasp, and yet you need it. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what? In love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of what? Of the love of Jesus. Verse 19, to know the love of Jesus. It's interesting to me that he says in verse 18, you should be able to comprehend every dimension of the love of God that there is. And then in verse 19, he says, to know the love of Christ, which does what? Which passes knowledge. He says, you go ahead and get your measuring tape out. Go ahead. You can get your little inch ruler. You can get a yardstick. You can get your 25-foot measuring tape. You get it out. You try to measure the love of God. And he says, guess what? You won't be able to understand it. And that's what he's saying about the peace of God. Aren't you glad to serve a God that you can't measure? What if you could measure the love of God? You could find the end of it. Oh, there's the end of it. All right, it's done. There's no way. What if you could measure the peace of God? Then that would mean you could find the end of it. I want you to understand whatever you're going through, there's no end. There's no measurement. There's no limitation to the peace of God. It is something that is so grand, so magnanimous, so awesome that we just, in our finite minds, we cannot comprehend it. Doesn't that fascinate you? Isn't that something that you long to have? Where is its place of origin? It's in God. Perceptibility? Nope, we can't understand it. What is its potency? Come back to Philippians 4. What is its potency in life? What does this say? True biblical faith comes from God. It surpasses all understanding. And what does it do? It will guard your heart and your mind. The word guard was used, the Greek word for guard, was used in the New Testament as a military term. And it was used as a military term to talk about some garrison that had built itself around a full protection, 360 degrees, that had surrounded a particular city or surrounded a particular people, and you had this protection all the way around. It's a military term. Talking about that guard that is there, protecting. That's the word that God says is His peace. His peace is like a military garrison that has built up a wall all around you. And what is it guarding? It is guarding your heart and your mind. Not guarding your outside, it's guarding your inside. And it's guarding everything about your inside. Guarding about your heart. It's guarding your, if you will allow it, and that's the whole point here. if you will allow the peace of God, Colossians 3 says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you will let the peace of God rule in your hearts, this verse says it will guard your heart, your emotions. Are you struggling with anxiety? Are you struggling with worry? Are you struggling with emotions? God says, let the peace of God rule, reign in your hearts. And He'll guard your emotions. Not just your heart, it'll guard your mind. Not just your emotional side of you, it's going to guard your very thoughts. You ever have doubts? One of the sessions that they're having up at Polishing the Pulpit this year is a session where they bring in seven different preachers to speak for 7 minutes. That's like a miracle in and of itself, but age of miracles is past, but they get seven preachers to talk for 7 minutes. How can that happen? But one of the sessions they have this year is for teens, talking about different doubts that teens might face. Do you ever have doubts? God says if you'll let the peace of God reign in your hearts, you don't need to worry about doubts. You don't need to let those doubts creep. You don't need to let fear creep into your mind. Just allow the peace of God. You won't understand it. You won't be able to explain it because it surpasses all understanding. You won't understand it, but it will be there. Not to guard you. It's the peace of God is not going to guard you from outward circumstances. Let's look at that part of the verse. It's not saying, oh, well, no bad things will happen to you. That's not what it says. Bad things are still going to happen. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says the outward man is still going to perish. But the peace of God is there to watch over your inward person, your emotions and your thoughts, if you will let it. You won't understand it. You won't be able to explain it to somebody else, but you can experience it. But you can only experience it. Look at the end of the verse. There is a placement of this peace that is only given to an exclusive group of people. It's the peace of God. That's its origin. Surpasses all understanding. Perceptibility? Nope, can't really perceive it. Power? Yeah, it guards your heart and your mind. But where is it located? It's exclusively only for those who are in Christ. Those who are out in the world, they can't have this peace. And so back in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me, two short little words, that in me you may have peace. In the world, he says, you know what you're going to have in the world? In the world, you will have tribulation. What does he say? You don't need to worry about that. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If our focus is on life on this earth, Jesus says, guess what you're going to experience at every turn? Tribulation, 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 tribulation. But if you're in Christ, there is a peace that you can't understand, that will build a garrison around your heart and your mind of protection that you don't deserve. And yet it is there because you are a child of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that in Christ are all of these spiritual blessings. In Christ, I have been adopted into the family of God, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. In Christ, I've been forgiven of my sins, Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says. And in Christ, I'm one of His children. And He sets up that peace all around me. Do you have that peace? Somebody says, how do I get that peace? How do I obtain that peace? Do you see the first word in verse 7? It's a little word. And as far as I could tell, every version I looked up, and I only looked up about five or six versions, so there could be an exception to this. But every translation I looked up, the first word in verse 7 is the word what? And. You know what the word and means? There's something that comes before this. Do you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? This peace has some prerequisites in order to obtain it, and the word "and" tells you that. So somebody says, how do I get this peace? Verse 4, you need to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. Regardless of what circumstances are happening in your life, God says, if you want this peace, be joyful. Don't worry about stuff. Remember what we said this morning to the kids? Don't worry about what other people think. It doesn't matter. Be joyful in the Lord. You can find this peace. How do I obtain this peace? Verse 5. Be reasonable. Even when other people are not reasonable, you be reasonable. Some translations here are going to say, let your gentleness be made known unto all men. So another translation will say, let your sweet, underscore it, let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. So how's your sweet reasonableness doing, by the way? Is it doing okay? You're like, I don't have a sweet reasonableness. You need to find it. God says, let your sweet reasonableness be made known to who? Not just the people who are sweet reasonable back to you, but to everybody. And when you do this, and the peace of God will rule in your hearts. Are you struggling with peace? Maybe. So are you struggling with being sweet reasonable with other people? Don't worry about what they think. Don't worry about what they do. Regardless of that, you be like Christ. How do I find this peace? Verse 6, I need to be trustful. Regardless of how worrisome things look. Verse 6, be anxious for how much? Well, it doesn't look good, God. God says, that's nothing. Be anxious for nothing. God, I'm struggling with peace. God says, are you trusting me? God, I'm not sure I've got that peace that surpasses all understanding. Are you anxious? Or are you trusting me regardless of how bad things look? I want this peace. You got to be trustful. And the last thing you've got to have in verse 6 is you've got to be prayerful. Be anxious for nothing, trustful, but in everything, full of prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Do you have this peace that only comes from God, that blows your mind away because you can't comprehend it? It just surpasses all understanding. Do you have this peace that is potent in your life because it's built up a garrison all around you to guard your heart, your emotions, your mind, your thoughts? Do you have this peace because you are a child of God and only children of God get it? If you're struggling with the peace, perhaps it's because you're struggling with one of these four things on the bottom of the screen. These four things are a sermon in and of themselves. But if you want to find this peace, you need to be joyful, be reasonable, be trustful, and be prayerful. And if you'll do that, this peace of God can be yours. And so as you look at your life tonight, do you have that peace? Do you have the peace that comes from having all of your sins taken away, being added to the family of God, and having your name recorded in heaven? The only way that that can happen is if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You repent of your sins. You confess your faith in Jesus. And you're baptized. Baptized because Jesus said to do it in order to become a disciple. You know, you can't be a disciple. You can't be a Christian unless you're baptized. You want to be a Christian tonight? Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. How do you do that, Jesus? By baptizing them. That word baptizing with the ing on the end of it says that's how you make a disciple. You got to baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when they're baptized into that brand new relationship with God, they become a disciple. They become a Christian. They get into Christ, the only place where the peace that surpasses all understanding can be found. Perhaps tonight you just need to be resolved in your heart that I'm going to respond to God just where I stand and say, God, I haven't been trusting you like I should. God, I have not been as prayerful as I should. I haven't been as reasonable as I should, and that's not a surprise to any of us, maybe. And God, I haven't been as joyful as I should. And if we'll say to God, God, I want to be those four things, He's got a peace for you when you leave here tonight. But if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you've wandered away from the Lord, why don't you get right with Him tonight as together we stand and sing.